Jude, verse 17, says, "But you, beloved, ought to remember the words which were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you in the last time, there shall be mockers, following after their own ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, on some, and have mercy with fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever." Verse 21 says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." The English word "keep" is defined as to have, to retain possession of, to cause to continue in a specified condition, position, or course. The Greek word that's used here for keep is tereho, which means to watch over, to guard, to preserve, to not throw away. Earlier in Jude's letter, in verse 3, he wrote, "Beloved, while I was making every attempt to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints." Jude here indicates that we need to contend for the faith, indicating that there's going to be a struggle, it's going to be a fight, implying there's going to be danger or difficulty. This isn't the first time in Scripture that we see things similar to this, or warnings concerning keeping ourselves in the faith. In Romans chapter 8, starting verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for their sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep being led to the slaughter, but in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels or principalities, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ, our Lord and Savior." All of these things are outside influences that we face daily. And not a single one of these things can separate us from the love of God. But sadly, we can walk away. Jesus said some things concerning this in John chapter 10. Starting in verse 22, "At the time of the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon, and the Jews therefore gathered around him and were saying to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them and said, 'I told you, and you do not believe the works which I do in my Father's name. These things bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me. I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand.'" This passage here indicates that, again, there's going to be outside influences upon us. And no one or no thing can snatch us from the hand of God. But sadly, we can push God's hand away. We are called here today for this time of remembrance. for this time of reflection to remember the great things that God did for us through His only Son. We see all around us memorials that are meant to remind people of different things. In just our lifetime, we've seen some of these memorials come crashing down, removed, taken away. Some of these things are monuments to maybe bad things that have happened, to remind people to be wary of these things. We've seen monuments to good things torn down. For centuries, the Lord's table has been in jeopardy of being taken away by some. Some completely reject it. Some hide it. But as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul here reminds the church at Corinth of its importance. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that in the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and said, and he broke it, giving thanks, he said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. These words here indicate a continuous action that will help us remember the things in which God has done for us. As was pointed out in Sunday school, that our human nature leads us to forgetfulness. And this is why God gave us this time now, to remember Him and remember what Christ did for us on the cross. Our Father and God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, so much for this time. We thank you, God, for knowing us at times better than we even know ourselves, knowing that we need this constant reminder, Lord, of who you are and of your great love, that if we put these things out of our mind for too long, Lord, that we will forget, and that we will fall into temptation, Lord, and with all the things which the world is pressing upon us. And we thank you, God, so much for loving us more than we deserve. We thank you so much for sending your Son down to this earth and become our sins on our behalf, Lord. And we thank you, God, so much for all of these things, Lord. And just please, God, help us as we partake of these emblems, Lord, that we'll do so in a worthy manner. And just please, Lord God, forgive us for when we sin and fall short. In Jesus' name.